Tell you what.
Amen. Bless you, Lord.
We don't have many anymore. Really don't. But I do love him and I appreciate him.
Go on, you preach as the Lord leads and close it as the Lord leads. Don't close it as.
Isn't it good to be in God's house tonight?
Amen.
Amen. We appreciate you being here, all the men of God, the preachers of the Word of God. We appreciate you being here tonight. I told them last night, it was three or four in the service, and if you were here, you know what I told them, but I'm going to tell you that are here tonight. It humbles me, the men of God, to come and listen to me try to preach. And I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody that can save anybody.
Amen.
And you know, y'all were talking, every one of you that sung tonight said something about being saved. I've had two births.
Amen.
The first one I don't remember. But the second one I can't forget.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Now, he said I had it at 2 o'clock. It's almost 10 minutes to 8 now. And I can't see good. So just don't worry about it. Amen. We'll be through when we get through. And by the way, if you'll listen fast, I'll preach fast. And we'll go home in a little while. Amen. All right. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let me start with verse 1. And I'm glad that Brother Donnie had you to stand up because I don't want you to go to sleep on me tonight. Amen. We got time to sleep after service. Everybody found it? Would you stand, please? The reverence of God's word reading. It says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that they may grow thereby. If so, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone disallowed, indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer us spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have attained mercy. Father, we come to you tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that we had opportunity to stand behind this pulpit tonight and proclaim the word of God. And we, Lord, I ask that you just preach through me tonight, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, I pray, Heaven and Father, that your will would be done in this service. Lord, you said in your word that it was not God's will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Lord, I pray if there's one here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior tonight, may this be the hour, may this be the time that they come to know you, Lord. And then, Lord, draw each one of us as Christians closer to you. And Father, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for everything you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I'll tell you something a little funny. Brother James was talking about a while ago forgetting things. And I won't ever forget, I was having a funeral service, and I had them all to stand for the family to come in. And I was about halfway through with the service when I happened to realize that everybody was standing up. And so I just said, you may be seated. Acting like I had forgotten anything. But as we look at these scriptures tonight, there was a word found, I think it was in verse 6, the word confounded. Now, this scripture that we're using in our text tonight is favorite of the apostles. Now, if you look at the epistle, the Romans, you will find that Paul quoted it again and again. Now, in Romans chapter 9, verse 33, the Bible says, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And then in Romans chapter 10 and verse 11, the Bible says, for the scripture says, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. We need to take all of these scriptures tonight to heart and to realize that we are serving a great God. The song that Brother Dwayne sung a while ago, it's always been one of my favorite songs. And I told him last night I was glad that he sung that song. Now I wouldn't have to sing it. So therefore, we're not going to sing tonight, so just don't get too excited, okay? So, but we were talking about this, and you know, we see that this is a quotation here from Isaiah 28:16, where it says, therefore saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a special cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that believeth shall not make haste. Now, we look at these scriptures and we see that Paul interprets these words, make haste, by this, and that is to shall be ashamed. And then the Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter renders it this way, shall not be confounded. Now, I want to tell you right straight off, I am not confounded. I am just happy as if I have good sense. I told them last night that I retired from the church, and I did. Somebody come up to me when I mentioned that in a service one time, and a week or two ago, and they come up to me and said, you got fired? I said, no, I did not get fired, but I got refired. Amen. I'm refired. I'm fired up for the Lord Jesus Christ. He has been so good to me. He is my Savior. He's my friend. And I want to share with you tonight just some of the things that He does for every one of us. Okay? And I'll get to that in just a minute. But I want to say to you, the Bible tells us that Peter says that he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Now, what Peter is saying here is this, that the person who really believes in Jesus and all us and studies the Word of God will never be confused about it and never be disappointed in Him. We cannot be disappointed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, the Bible tells us that Pilate found no fault with Him. I can find no fault with Him tonight. So how in the world can I be disappointed in Him if I cannot find any fault in Him? He is a perfect Savior. Amen. And I want you to know that tonight. I want to use three things here tonight from this text that might help some Christian to be more established and to help a lost soul, if there be one here tonight, to really get saved today or tonight. First of all, if you look in verse 6, you'll find that there's the foundation of salvation. The foundation of salvation. He that believeth on him. That's the foundation, isn't it? The foundation of the believer's faith is in Christ Jesus himself. It's not church membership. It's not the church that does it for you. It's not the preacher that does it for you. It's not the deacon that does it for you. It's not the Sunday school teacher that does it for you. It's not the teachers that does it for you, and it's not fellow Christians that'll do it for you, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ himself that can save you, and he is the foundation of salvation. Now, in Paul's letter to Timothy, we find that he did not say, I know what I have believed, but he said, I know in whom I believe. And he said, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him. And so you see, tonight, Jesus Christ is God's appointed Savior of men. God has set him forth to be the propitiation for sin. Now, when sin first came into the world, God, in tender mercy, gave our forefather, Adam, the first promise concerning the seed of the woman who should bruise the serpent's head. And I believe that it was Jesus Christ to be that seed of the woman. Amen. Do you agree with me on that?
Right.
Look, y'all don't get quiet on me now. You was kind of loud when you they were singing. Now, come on, don't die on me right now, okay?
Amen.
If I'm right,
amen,
let me know I'm right.
Yeah.
In fact, I make errors. I make mistakes when I'm preaching sometimes. But listen, my Savior never makes a mistake.
Right. Amen.
All right. One great reason that I can believe on him is this. Know that he is alone the foundation of salvation, and that is because he actually finished the work of our redemption.
Right.
You see, we trusted Christ to save us because he was in every way the perfect, the spotless Lamb of God.
Yep.
He was born of a virgin. Nobody else can say that.
Right.
He was wrapped in swaddling clothes like any other child. He grew in stature as other children do. But he was a perfect man without trace of fault.
Right. Yeah.
So we find that Pilate then, as I said a few minutes ago, he could not find any fault in him. One of the last cries from the cross were these words, it is finished.
Amen.
It is finished.
Right.
One more reason I can assure you that Jesus Christ is the foundation of salvation, and that is because he ever lived to see to the completion of our salvation.
Yeah.
One of these days, we're going home, aren't we?
Yeah.
But until we go home, we ought to try to serve God the best of our ability.
Amen.
For what he's done for us. Don't get confounded. Don't get disappointed. Don't get discouraged. I know we're living in an old fleshly body. When Jesus Christ saved us, he didn't eradicate this body. We're going to have a glorified body when we get to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Now, you see, he cried, it is finished. And he's the reason, the foundation of salvation, because he ever lives to see to the completion of our salvation. Now look back in chapter 6 again. We see that he says, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Now if you don't understand this business of saved, just watch this illustration that Jesus gives about laying a stone. You see, Jesus said, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone.
Mm-hmm.
Now if you want to know what it is to believe on Jesus, is to lie upon him as a stone lies upon the foundation when the mason puts it there.
Hey.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now, our soul's eternal destiny is laid on Christ, is it not?
Amen.
We are placed upon the foundation, sealed by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And he's the mortar, as the mortar seals that stone to the foundation. The only way that stone could ever be moved is for foundation to give away. And thank God our foundation can never fail.
Amen.
The problem is in when we get in trouble, many times we make a profession and not a position.
Right.
I've known a lot of people in my time that they gave a profession, but they didn't have a possession.
Right.
And it simply means that they didn't get saved.
Yeah.
Anybody can profess. But possessing is a different story, isn't it?
Amen.
Thank God that we possess the Holy Spirit. He lives within our heart and our soul tonight. Praise God for that. We promise God a lot of times when we're in trouble and we're sick that we're going to serve Him. But then when we get to feeling a little better, we just say, forget it. I'm doing all right now. It's not that way, is it? It doesn't work that way. We are to thank God for touching and healing us if we're sick. Instead of just forgetting about what He has done and what He will do. We do that many times. Now, Jesus Christ will keep the believer. He will support the believer. And one day He's going to perfect the believer. He's shown the confirmation of salvation here is this. He shall not be confounded. He shall never be shamed. He shall never be disappointed. And all that Christ has promised to be, He's going to be to us who trust Him.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. And if we trust Him tonight, He's going to be our Savior. He's going to be our friend. He's going to be everything for us. He is our everything.
Right.
Now, in Isaiah's writing of the same scripture, he says, shall not make haste. He was simply saying this. We shall not hurry, we shall not worry, we shall not fret, we shall not fume, trying this and trying that, running from pillar to post to seek an answer. And I've known a lot of people to do that, haven't you? In my lifetime, I've known that. In my Christian life, I've known that. I've seen that many times. They run from pillar to post trying this and trying that. But I'm here to tell you the best thing to try or the best person to try is Jesus Christ Himself. He is the foundation of our salvation. And praise God, I'm glad tonight that I'm a Christian. Praise God tonight, I'm glad He got a hold of me when I was 17 years old. And I've been saved ever since. I ain't lost my salvation. He kept me. He's the keeper of his salvation for us. We can't lose our salvation. We might lose our joy, but we can't lose our salvation.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
All right. I can assure you that if he or any other person will come and believe the scripture says, he will find a real peace that passes all understanding. I'm here to tell you tonight, I got a peace deep down in the gabled ends of my soul that you got, I hope, and if you don't have, you can before you leave here tonight. I enjoy my salvation.
Amen.
And in fact, since I retired from pastoring the church, I enjoy it a whole lot better. It seems like burden lifted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that He's helping me every day of my life. He walks with me, He talks to me. He goes with me every step of the way.
Amen.
I might fail Him, but He's never failed me. And He never will, by the way. He'll never fail you. We want revival, do we not? The Bible says, there in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. It takes humbleness from the Christian. Listen, we need to humble ourselves before God, get out on our knees if we possibly can, and ask Him to give us revival.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't like that phrase, and I know a whole lot of preachers use it, but that's all right. If God tells them to, that's fine. They say, God, send us a revival. I don't want God to send us a revival. I want Him to bring us a revival. Because when He brings a revival, He's in it, isn't He?
Yeah. Right.
Amen. Amen. If He sends it, He might be somewhere else.
Amen.
Amen. But when He brings it, it's real. Amen.
Amen.
Everything that He does is real.
Amen.
As I told him last night, if God says it, you can believe it. Because everything God says, He means, and He means everything He says.
Amen.
Now, let's look at this confirmation. I can assure you that any sinner will find real peace if you'll come to know Jesus Christ. And we are all sinners, are we not? The only difference is that there's saved sinners and lost sinners. I have met so many in this life that just don't know what they believe. They say, well, you know, I joined the church when I was a certain age. You may have, but if you didn't get Jesus Christ as your Savior, you still die and go to hell. That's as simple as I know how to say it. And I know a lot of times people, preachers that say hell from the pulpit, they're afraid that somebody's going to say something to them about it. But I'm here to tell you, you're going to die and go to hell. Yeah.
Amen.
If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior.
That's right.
He says, shall not be confounded. I'm confident, and I'm not confounded because he has put an assurance deep down in my soul. How about you tonight? Has he put a deep conviction, a deep peace down in your soul? Then when you lay down at night, you don't have to worry about whether you wake up in the morning or not. And if you do wake up in the morning, it won't be here on earth, it'll be up there.
Amen.
Amen. Now let me tell you what I'm confident in Jesus Christ. And you can say the same thing tonight. As Christians, or even if you're not saved, you can still say some of these things. So you see, I want to tell you what he has done, is doing now, and what he's going to do. First of all, this is simple now. He loves me.
Amen.
No one ever loved me like Jesus. That song, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. I love that song. I wish Brother Gene had sung that one tonight too. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. He died for me.
Yes.
And let you in on a little secret if you don't already know it. Not only did he die for me, but he died for you. Every one of us that are here tonight, he died for us. I've heard preachers say, well, he died for just a few. I'm here to tell you, he died for all, the Bible says.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He died for all. And I'm glad one of them was me. Amen. He died for me. And not only that, he was buried in a borrowed tomb at that. But he didn't stay there, did he? He arose again. And let me say to you tonight, he's alive. He's alive. He's alive forevermore.
Amen.
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 Yeah. He is alive.
Amen. He's alive. You know how I know he's alive? He's alive. He lives right here.
That's right.
Deep down in the gable end of my soul. He was buried. He died. He rose the third day. He ascended back to heaven. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for my sin. He said, if our sin comes short of the glory of God, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
That's right.
Didn't he say that?
Yes.
All right, so what do we have to worry about tonight? We ought to have peace that passes all understanding. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for our sin. One of those days, and very soon, he's going to call us home. Well, this ought to make an old dead Baptist shout. When you get to thinking about what God's doing for us, and what God done for us, and what he's going to do for us. Amen. Oh, when he calls us home, oh, what a homecoming it's going to be. You know, we have homecomings in our churches. And we enjoy that. But that's nothing compared to that homecoming.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're going to say this. We're going to see Jesus face to face. We may not want to, because I told you the other night, if it wasn't last night, I don't know what night it was, But we're all going to have to give an account. We're going to stand before God one day. We've got to give an account to God. For the deeds that we do in our body. Amen. We're going to have to. And that's not going to be very easy to do. But praise God, when we get by that judgment seat of Christ, what's going to happen then? I can't tell you everything's going to happen, but I know one thing. It's going to be a whole lot better than it is down here.
You're right. Amen.
The Bible tells us He went away to prepare us a place. And I don't believe I've just got a place. I believe I've got a mansion. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house were many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Yeah. He said, "I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I come again to receive you in myself, that where I am, there you may be also."
Amen.
And we have a God that tells us the truth. You may not be able to rely on everything that I say, but I'm here to tell you, you can rely on what God says. And if He says He's going to do it, He's going to do it. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
And we've got something to look forward to as Christians, don't we?
Yeah.
We ought to be enjoying revival services and getting closer to the Lord and closer to the Lord and closer to the Lord so that we can just enjoy what God has for us.
Amen.
As I say every night, I'm going to say it again. I was going to say it while ago and I forgot it. And you may not like where I got it, and I ain't going to tell you where I got it, but if you know, it's all right. Turn that frown upside down.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
If you turn the frown upside down, what's going to happen? You're going to be smiling, aren't you?
Right.
We've got a lot to be happy for, have we not?
Amen.
Well, even a lost person's got something to be happy about. He can be happy because Jesus Christ didn't call him home to his eternal place. Give him another opportunity.
That's right.
He's given us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. We was in the great revival services last week. We've been in good services this week. I can't say that the preaching's been as good this week as it was last week, but I'll tell you one thing. Jesus Christ is coming back. And if He comes back, then I'm ready. And if He comes back, I want to ask you a question. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen. Can you say amen that I'm ready?
Amen.
All right. If you're ready, then let's get a little closer to Him.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. And when He does call us home, then we can walk in after the judgment seat. We can walk in after we hear Him say, "Enter in, thy good and faithful servant, into the joys of this land." Then I'm going to shout just as loud as I can.
Amen.
And what else I'm going to do, I don't know. But I do know that we're going to praise the Lord. We're going to worship Him.
Amen.
And so why don't we, as Christians, get a little practice while we are going home? Amen.
Amen.
Would you bow your head tonight? What a homecoming that's going to be. I'm looking forward to the homecoming. While you got your head bowed and eyes closed, she's coming to sing. She's coming to play, and Brother Bill's going to lead us in a song in just a minute. But we don't have to wait to let. Has anybody? And the altar's been full every night, and I praise God for that. But let's just talk to the Lord tonight and let Him draw us closer to Him. Let us come tonight and talk to the Lord. And if one here tonight is lost, come and let somebody show you how to be saved. As I look around, I believe all of you profess to be Christians. And I thank God for that. But you know the reason that people are not being saved like they used to be is because of us that are called Christians. They're looking at us. They're watching us every day. Would you get up now, not waiting for the music, not waiting for the singing? Let's come down to this open altar prayer. Let's pray and ask God to bring revival to our soul. And tomorrow night, as far as the services are concerned, will be the last service. Unless the Lord tells different. So let's get around this altar and pray and ask God to just bring revival to our souls and to our churches and our cities and our nation. Anyone else need to come? Come on before we sing. Don't be confounded.